8 on WGN, John Hansen here, Your Money Matters, and we welcome in our good friend, Patrick Dolan, employment lawyer, employment counselor. He'll walk you through all the sticky situations at work. Hello, Patrick, how are you?
Good, John, how you doing?
Good. I thought about you when I saw the jobs number, which was good for January, 100 plus thousand jobs. Another big revision for last year downward. We saw the similar thing happened a couple of months before that as well. And we see layoffs hitting their highest total in January, at the highest start of a year layoff total since January 2009, which, if people forget, was not a great time for the economy. So a real mixed bag with all the numbers that we're getting over the last couple of weeks, Patrick.
Yeah, it is a mixed bag, John. You know, some good news, some bad news. I honestly have not seen a real uptick in the number of folks seeking my help with separation agreements. It's a pretty steady stream, but not more than has been before. So, the numbers look good. As you said, there is some hiring, but there's also some layoffs, so it is mixed.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like more of the same. You'll get a good data point with the jobs number, then you'll get a weaker one, and then you ask people and they say it's really hard to get a job, but you don't see a bunch of people lining up for unemployment. And that's kind of where we've been stuck for a couple of years. And I say stuck, it's not the worst place to be, Patrick. I mean, maybe it'd be a little bit better if there was a little more churn for people to have more upward mobility. But in terms of like things you'd want in a job market, it isn't the worst.
No, it's for sure not the worst. And I think people have seen a lot worse in terms of, the lack of availability of jobs. Most people, John, are just staying in their jobs right now. They're not necessarily looking for a new job. They're not, most folks are not as fearful as they were with regard to being laid off. So they're really settling in. Some people might say hanging on, but I don't think most folks are that desperate. But, I think folks are really settling in their job, and I think companies are not looking to make too many changes at this point because they're still unsure about how AI is going to affect a lot of positions.
As people hang on to jobs, I can feel the pendulum swing from the great resignation 3 years ago or so when employees had all the power. I can feel that pendulum having swung already back to employers holding a lot of power. Is that your read of the dynamic between the two?
I think that's probably the case. It's certainly more equitable than it was before. And I think that's because both sides, employers and employees, are still just unsure about what's out there. Is there something better out there? Is there anything out there for me that might fit better? So people are really sitting tight, and I think companies are too. But, John, you're right. It is not – employees do not have a bunch of options, and so they're looking around to leave. That is not happening.
I imagine that when everyone is stuck in one place, like you're saying, you're not getting a bunch of calls for separation agreements or starting new jobs. I want to have you look at all the pre-paperwork. I imagine, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that a lot of people that call you are the people who call you on the show who are in their job and are having current issues. Maybe they're feeling discriminated against. Maybe they're dealing with a boss that they seem to be insane, or they're dealing with a PTO thing. Is that what you're seeing in your practice right now, Conti and Dolan Law? You do the employment law stuff. You're handling a lot of the how do we keep things acrimonious in the workplace?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think people are asking me to counsel them on how to handle certain situations with their coworkers, with their managers, issues in terms of pay. You know, it's February, so we're in bonus payment season, and so people are looking at their bonus and saying, geez, was everybody else paid as little as I was? Or, some people are relieved, but not me. But I think you're right, John. Another thing is people are coming to me and saying, okay, I have this non-compete agreement. I have this non-solicit agreement. I'm considering looking around. I don't want anybody to know that. You know, what does the non-compete prevent me from doing? And so we kind of walk through what are options, what are not options, but they're really dipping their toe in the water carefully when it comes to looking around for new jobs.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense to me. And it's a lot about the language of how these things are written with non-competes, non-solicitations. And just because it's there, first of all, it is enforceable. I want to preface this by saying what you told me a billion times. They are still enforceable. But there may be wiggle room in terms of how it's written and how it's been exercised with other people and other employees in the past, right?
That's for sure. And also with regard to an individual, because sometimes, companies will negotiate the terms of the non-compete, even if it is fully enforceable in terms of where somebody wants to go. If they want to go to a competitor, but their job, you know, might not harm the company's business, maybe they will let you out of that non-compete. But again, asking that question raises a red flag. So people are really talking to me carefully about how to go about it and whether I think that prospective new job will violate a non-compete. And, you know, really how sure I am that it won't before they even bring up that issue with an employer.
In a world of gig economy and side hustles, there's a lot of independent contractors out there. Some have formed LLCs and S-Corps and are doing their taxes great. Others are just flying by the seat of their pants. I know that because I've done that before. We've all been there. I imagine a lot of your cases, or correct me if I'm wrong, people calling in going, look, I'm an independent contractor for this place, but the more I do work for them, the more it seems like I'm actually an employee and I'm not being paid like one. I'm not being treated like one. That's a problem.
That is a problem. A lot of folks are misclassified and they're not getting benefits. Obviously, they don't get anything. What they get is pay for a certain project or some pay for, you know, X amount of hours, but they don't get all of the benefits that come with employment when in fact they should, based on the fact that the company really does control what they do. So there's a bunch of questions to ask about that. A lot of companies misclassify independent contractors, and it's something that I talk about a lot with folks.
Yeah. Patrick, I want to applaud you, by the way, for not correcting me when I used acrimony incorrectly about 4 minutes ago. The texters,
I think people knew what you meant, John.
Yeah, I meant harmony, but the texters, rightfully so, correcting me that acrimony is not desirable. Yes, I know that somewhere in my brain, but the part of my brain that controls the speaking without a script for a moment broke down there. So, Patrick, you'll help me and allow me to make that one mistake. Patrick, hang on the line. We've kind of set up what you do from a legal perspective, but what you also do is you counsel people through these sticky situations. Those are also really juicy to talk about live on the air. So don't tell your company name, but 312-981-7200. What's happening in the workplace near you that you're worried about? We'll get to that after we take a look at traffic and weather one more time with Mary Vandeveld. Patrick Dolans, our employment lawyer. We chat with him, employment counselor. Patrick, you ready to take some calls?
Absolutely.
And text as well from the 773. I work in Chicago. I'm part-time hourly, but I earn a fair amount of hours a month, somewhere around 100 or 120. Okay, that's pretty good. I have not been earning PTO, and I think that's been in violation of state and city laws. When I brought that up, they said they would fix it soon. But aren't I owed some of the PTO that I should have gotten in the previous couple of years? That's a good question, Patrick. Can someone crawl that back? Claw that back?
That is a good question. So the law has changed fairly recently in Chicago to allow for folks who even work part-time to accrue PTO, but that law is fairly recent. To go back a couple of years, you'd probably have to rely on the policy of the company, but I will say that there are laws in place to protect someone. So right now, he or she is accruing that PTO even if they work part-time. So I'm sure they've got some PTO that they have in the bank right now.
Okay. And to the point of I've been working there since this law has been in place, I don't know, are they able to go back and say, well, actually, let's add up all the time that I've been accruing that you haven't been counting, and let's give that to me for PTO? I think that's a reasonable ask.
Absolutely. And also under the Illinois Wage Payment and Collection Act, you can get that accrued unused PTO with a bunch of penalties, et cetera, payable to you. You're owed that money, John. So, yeah, go back to when it was that you started accruing. Doesn't matter if it's part time. If you worked a certain number of hours, you're going to be accruing during that time. So, yes, that person is definitely due some accrued unused PTO.
Now, they also followed up saying, well, one boss also mentioned, yeah, but you can only roll over so much, and you worked here, and it rolled, even if you had it, it would have rolled over and lost some of it. Yeah, if you never earned it in the first place, how would you ever know it was supposed to be there? I don't think that a company can hide behind a rollover policy if they never gave it to you in the first place.
No, for sure not. I mean, there's no way they would be able to do that and cancel out all of the accrued PTO that you earn during the year just because you can't roll it over. I mean, you can't violate the law for an entire year and say, oh, well, you know what? You don't get it because you didn't roll it over because we never gave it to you. That doesn't make very much sense.
This person needs to call you if they need to, 312-332-7800. And what I like about what you do, Patrick, is it's not like you come in, you know, in your three-piece suit I know that you have with like an old-timey watch like a railroad conductor has as a big lawyer man and go, I am an employment lawyer. I'm representing this person. Pay this person their money. You often advise that person on how to write that letter, how to write that email the correct way to do things with a little bit of, you know, honey instead of vinegar, because that can help them maybe keep their job. That can help keep things harmonious. And that's a good thing. That's kind of what you do, right?
Yeah, it is. I kind of like that visual. I'm going to tell Karen I'm going to show up at the office with that outfit on, John. Thanks for the idea.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I walk through those issues all the time because folks are concerned. They don't want to rock the boat. But they do certain things, whether it be compensation or time off or how to handle a boss that's, you know, that's harassing them, et cetera. But people are rightly concerned about how to handle that. There is a way, though. It's, you know, it's how you phrase it. It's how you couch it. It's how you represent your concerns. You can't, you know, you don't want to be overly aggressive. You want to be sort of fact-driven, not a lot of hyperbole, and just get your point across. So I help people do that all the time to make sure that their jobs are safeguarded while they're raising those legitimate concerns.
815, my company took away the employer match for a 401k. So we're still allowed to put into the 401k, but they don't match. Are they allowed to do this just willy-nilly?
They are allowed to change the match policy, but on a certain date. But anything before that, you know, they have an obligation to match. But yes, they can change a matching 401k policy.
Okay. 773 had a very similar question. I don't know if it's the same company and they're just calling or texting from different numbers, but they also were wondering about a change in employer contributions. But what the way the employer does it is they do it in one lump sum at the end of the year. They're changing their policy in about a month or two. Should we follow up and ask if we're going to still get the first couple months worth of employee match? Is it allowed, or can they just say zero for the whole year, even if the first couple of months we worked under the assumption that we were going to get something at the end of the year? That's a winding question, but I think you get what they're driving at, Patrick.
I do, and you really have to base it on when the policy changes. There's going to be an effective date for any policy change. And when it comes to benefits especially, that date is the date that you have to look at very carefully. Anything before that date, you're entitled to whatever that benefit is. Anything after, you're not. So you have to be very careful about, you know, how that occurs when we're talking about a benefit.
Even if it's distributed at a later time, the aspect of working under the assumption you were getting that match should give you, well, whatever, if we do 2 out of the 12 months, 1/6 of the year worth of the match, even if it comes later.
Yeah, but you know what, John? You have to look at what the policy says. So okay. They may not be accruing it pro rata like that monthly. Maybe you have to be employed for the entire year in order to get that full year payout. So you got to look at what the policy says.
Okay. 815 regarding Chicago PTO. I feel like my bosses know what the PTO hours are and now have been more distributing the hours, hiring more people for less hours. I've gone down so much in hours because of this PTO rule and I'm not accruing it. Is that allowed? Can they change my hours because they know when I start accruing PTO?
You know, John, you and I talked about this issue before. I know it's frustrating, but, you know, reducing hours to make folks ineligible for a certain PTO is not necessarily against the law. The company, you know, may not couch it like that. But the fact of the matter is, just because they reduced your hours and now you're not accruing PTO is not necessarily illegal. All right? Not necessarily. So I know it's frustrating, but I don't think it's illegal.
Yeah. I mean, it can be debilitating to someone. But it's not like they can say, it's okay, I'll waive my right to PTO. It's the city law. Just maybe an unintended consequence of it.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Patrick, we're out of time. 312-332-7800 is how people can reach you. No doubt we'll talk to you soon, my friend. Okay?
Thanks, John. Take care.